Well, let's spend some time in God's Word, which is just a great thing to do. So we're going to go to start off in Proverbs chapter 18. Last week I had shared some things concerning speaking God's Word and just a need that we have in our fellowship to grow in an area of outreach. We do have a wonderful fellowship, a great depth of Word and understanding in our fellowship and a commitment to God's Word and the truth. But we do have a need for growth. I mean, we do want to see other people want to hear God's Word and help them with it if they so choose. And I got to thinking about the words that we do speak, the power of the words, that the power of God's Word. It is powerful. So we're just going to look at a little bit about the power of the spoken word. So in Proverbs chapter 18, there's a verse here. It's pretty succinct. Verse 21. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." That's a pretty strong statement. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The words that we speak or are spoken to us, they can bring health to us, they can bring harm to us, they can bring comfort to us, they can bring distress to us. There's a lot of things that can be stirred up with words. They can invigorate us, inspire us, or they can get us like, ugh. You know, it depends on what we're hearing, you know. It's just amazing the ability of what words can do if they soak into your brain and you chew on them for a while. It can really bless you or it can really screw you up. You know, so we should be choosy what we listen to. But there's nothing better than the words that come from God Almighty. I mean, what better words can there be? And there aren't. So we're going to look at a little bit about God's Word and it being spoken. Hebrews chapter 4, a very familiar verse of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 4. Gives some description concerning the Word of God. And in verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word "quick" there is just an old English usage of the word for alive or living. And that's, most of the translations show this is the word that it is alive. It is alive. I mean, it's life. For instance, I brought a stapler. I brought a little couple things to look at. So Truman was using, I had this new stapler a couple months old. It was a really nice stapler because I seem to can't get a stapler that stays intact. And every time I hit it and used it, I was like, I finally got a stapler that works. Well, he broke it this week. So I got to talk about it. But anyway, this thing has no life in it. I mean, it will move when you move it, and it will produce a staple if there's staples in it. But it has no life. When you put it up on the shelf, it stays there until somebody moves it. It's got no life in it at all. But we have life. We move about. Plants have life, you know, they have growth life. Animals have life. But here it says the Word of God is alive. It's alive. It's absolutely alive. The next one is and powerful. And the word powerful isn't the word for like big might and strength. It's the word for active. And a lot of translations say active. Or effectual, or operative, or working. There's a keep your finger here because we'll come back. If you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, same word, basically. Verse 13 says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh. Those two words, effectually worketh, is the same basic word as what we just read, powerful. Also in you that believe. It's working. It's active. It's doing something in those who believe. And so God's word in Hebrews 4 saying that the word of God's alive, it's operative or it's active. It does something. It does stuff for people. I have another problem. this is called Arnicare gel. Of course, Connie and Terry know a lot about this stuff. You know, it's for if your muscles are a little sore. This is a natural way of helping it out, as far as there's an ingredient in there called arnica, and that starts to do stuff. now, most products you can buy, they'll tell you the active ingredients and sometimes the inactive ingredients. And this one happens to show both. And it says active ingredient, arnica. And then it gives the inactive ingredient. So a lot of times when I look at products, I don't look at them very often, I'll see what's actually going on in here. What's the thing that's doing its work? And whether you want to use it or not. But, you know, these are things that go on in products, go on in foods. Like, you can have a chili con carne that's kind of bland, and you can have a chili con carne that when you take a bite, you just thought you got lifted up in a rocket ship. Which John would probably like. And you're like, oh, what the heck is in this? That's making me feel like I'm on a rocket ship. You know, there's an active ingredient. You know, some type of red pepper or some type of very devilish thing. Something in there that is just hot. But here, the Word of God is active. It's doing stuff in our lives as we believe God's Word. They're not dead words at all. They're not. They're words with life in them. Incredible. Actual life. Then it moves on to sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Which I don't know how all that works, but it does. And of the joints and marrow. And as far as I understand, medically, they still can't separate those two, but the Word of God does. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the word for discerner is the word judge. It's just it's a judge. It's fact A and fact B. Makes a decision based on, you know, it's making a judgment. And some of the translations are, judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Word of God knows, if we have the Word of God in there, it shows what our intentions are. We know what our intentions are. When we have the Word of God in our life, and the Word of God says, pick A, and we're looking at B as an option, it's telling us, hey, go to A. It's judging. So those are three aspects of the Word of God that's listed in this verse. But, you know, just to realize there is a living God behind the words of God. You know, what's the active ingredient behind the Word of God? God Himself. How more active can they get? Like we heard, you know, in manifestations. He created the heavens and the earth. He's pretty active. What else? What could you present to Him that He can't handle? You know? Amazing. Let's go to Numbers, chapter 23. This is the most popular book in Las Vegas and Atlantic City. It's all about Numbers. Chapter 23. Verse 19. I'm in Deuteronomy. No wonder it didn't look right. Boy, I made a mistake.
Book before was it?
Okay. You know, in Las Vegas, this is not a true story. they're not allowed to call those blackjack tables blackjack. It's considered discriminatory.
Oh, really?
No, I'm only kidding. I started wondering. So that would be funny. That's the next thing. It's like, right. Anyway, I don't know how I got there, but Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? That's pretty cool. You know, God's involved with what he says. Like he says that Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back. No matter what. Isaiah chapter 25. Almost every time I go to the book of Isaiah, this is kind of funny, I think of Peggy, because like 37 years ago, we were in a park. It was a believer's picnic day, and she was sharing God's word, and she said, Isaiah. And she wanted everybody to go to Isaiah, but she didn't say a chapter. And so she said, Isaiah, and it paused, and I'm thinking, what do you say? And I thought she was going to say something. And then she said a number. I was like, Isaiah 16? And it always stuck in my head for some reason. The things that rattle through there. So almost to your benefit, I think, every time I go to Isaiah, I think of her. Chapter 55, verse 10. It says 55. I'm sorry, what did I say?
25
plus 30. Sorry. 55. Verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Again, that is active. You know, it's that word for powerful. It's active. It's a working word. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. The power of the spoken word. We're speaking words when we speak God's word that have life in them, that have an active ability to do something for someone or ourselves. Chapter 5, and in verse 18, Jesus Christ speaking says, For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. There's nothing going to be missed. I mean, he's pretty accurate. It's amazing. You know, there isn't anything in his word that I forgot to do this, or I forgot to do that, or I missed this one. He's on track with everything. You know, it's a working word. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and what a reliability that is for our hearts. Acts chapter 1. And we're going to read a little bit here, and this is the day of the Ascension, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're picking it up in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, You have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or seasons, the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward him, or toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So some of those things that were spoken that day came to pass. As we know, in the day of Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit became available. And some things are still going to come to pass, you know, their future. The waiting of the return of Jesus Christ. It's an absolute, you know, it's going to happen. Every jot and tittle of the Old Testament law would be fulfilled. Everything that God says is going to happen, it's going to happen. It's a powerful, working, alive word.
It's really wild.
Let's go to Mark chapter 3. So when Jesus Christ was given the information to give those apostles, he knew that stuff was going to happen. Chapter 3, verse 1. No one utilized God's word quite as effectively as the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he did it without error. And, you know, he walked with great believing and great power. And what an example to us. We're going to look at this record we're familiar with in chapter 3, verse 1. And he, referring to Jesus, entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their heart, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. You know, there was power in that, you know, those four words, you know. Stretch forth thine hand. There was life in it. It was effectually working. That guy believed, as we see. Boy, what power. Pretty cool. It's really cool. Luke chapter 7. Not like my jokes, you know. They actually have an active ingredient, but it may not be a positive one. So I was spending a little time with Truman this week, and the other day I said, I want you to repeat. I'm going to say three words. I want you to repeat it, and I want you to tell me what it is. So I said, I love you. So he goes, I love you. So I said, okay, what does that mean? So he goes, well, that I love you from my heart, and that I really think you're, you know, I love you. So I said, okay. So then I said, Pap, referring to me, is funny. And I'm trying to brainwash. And so he says it, and I said, okay, so what's that mean? He goes, well, you're trying to trick me. And I wish you would just tell me the truth. He was right there with it. I said, okay. He's already too old to try the drug. I'm not falling for it.
That's good.
So anyway, yeah. My words didn't work. Chapter 7, verse 2. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him and the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. You know, hey, this guy's done a lot for Israel. Not that that's what Jesus Christ needed to hear, but this is a centurion. He's working what he understands of that culture. For he loveth our nation, he hath built us a synagogue. And Jesus said, boy, I better go help him. Now, I'm sure it didn't move him one way or the other. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, a centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great believing, no, not in Israel. But this guy understood the effect of words. You know, as a commander, he'd make commands. There you go. And Jesus Christ also understood that. Let's go to chapter 4 of Luke, verse 31. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. His word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Just amazing, you know. His words had power behind them. There was an effect, a deliverance that became available. Let's go to Acts chapter 5. We want to do the same thing, and we do the same thing. We do that all the time. We speak God's word, it has an effect. Whether we're saying it to ourselves, which we should speak the word to ourselves, you don't have to say it out loud. You can. Susan talks to herself a lot. And so I don't know if she's talking to me or she's talking to herself. So I asked her, can you just, when you want to say something to me, just say my name first. Because I don't, you know. So this way I know. Nothing wrong with speaking to yourself, I guess.
Only in psalms and hymns.
What?
Only in psalms and hymns.
Yeah. Acts chapter 5, verse 20. This is after the apostles were thrown in jail for the night, and God got him out with his angel. His angel came and got the guys out. And the angel tells him, well, we'll go to verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this death.
No.
Life. Because he wanted them to speak the word, which has life in it. All the words of this life. It's incredible. And lastly, we're going to Romans chapter 10. And I'm sure you all know where I'm going. I just said it. Romans chapter 10. Question is, which verse? This is mind-blowing when you think about it. These words bringing life unto the hearer and the believer. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The short verse is, you know, about how to get born again. And if we speak those words and somebody hears it and believes it, they turn, talk about life. Talk about, you know, from death to eternal life. That's as big as it gets. It's pretty big. I mean, look at Peter on the day of Pentecost when he spoke after they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, went over the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lordship, etc. And about, I think it was 3,000 believed. You know, those words produce life, eternal life for those people. Amazing when you think about it. So is there a better set of words to speak that have more life and more effectual ability than the Word of God? It's just amazing. And we have the privilege that we have an understanding of at least this much of it. You know, we're trying to get that next inch. But we're growing in it. And to stay faithful to speak it, to be encouraged to speak it, to not look at the circumstances and say, just to speak it. Just wild. I mean, Jesus Christ, the end of his ministry, didn't have all of Israel and the rest of the world following him. And look what he did for people. Incredible. We don't look at the results. We just look at God wants us to speak the word to that person, and there you go. And then maybe God will work in our life to say, hey, try to help that person, depending. That's pretty cool. So anyway, just a great thing about God's word. And we have it living in our lives. What a joy. So we don't want to cast it out. We don't want to neglect it. We want to grow in it.